Amen. Appreciate the song. Appreciate the song Sister Kay sang. I'm telling you, we need God more today. Amen. Well, as the sister was testifying, there's always somebody that's got it worse than we do. Amen. I got a sick wife at the house and a stack of problems. There's always somebody's got it worse than we do. Amen. Praise God. So I'm not going to hang my head. I'm going to be happy in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, because I do have hope. The Lord is coming. Amen. And He has not forgotten or forsaken His children. And I praise God for that. Amen. Looking forward to the coming of the Lord. But I know we are in the last days, church. And we need to buckle up. Amen. Need to tighten up everywhere we can. And searching and seeking for God and working for the Lord. Because in these last days, it's going to be a difficult time. I know that as Brother Emery was sharing Sunday morning and leading to the service, he mentioned about other religions, the things that they have to offer and the things that they have to give to people. They all think that they have an answer. They all think they are right. They all think that they know what they're talking about. And I find it's, I can say that I know that I have the truth. And I know that I'm walking in the truth. And they may say that they have the same thing. But I can look and I can say, where is their God though? Where is their God? Their God's not alive. Their God is dead. So I have proof that I am of truth. And I am living and serving a God that is victorious. Because I know the tomb is empty. I know on that first day of the week, early that morning, that those ladies, they went to the tomb and they was probably talking, as the Scripture tells us. On the way there, they was wondering how they was going to roll away the stone. They saw that big stone roll across the grave, the tomb of Jesus. And they was wondering how they was going to get in to put the spices and the ointments. And when they probably walked around the corner, the Bible talks about that the grave, it wasn't a grave in the ground. It was a tomb that was hewn out of the side of a cliff. So they probably was in a rocky area and they probably walked around the corner. And they saw that stone rolled away. The tomb's empty, church.
Amen.
The tomb is empty. Jesus Christ is victorious. You say, well, that happened 2,000 years and that was just a story. And somebody could have made that up. So what I have to do then is I have to tell them what my God has done for me. Amen. I was dead at one time spiritually. I was bound by sin. But Jesus Christ came into my life and He made a change. He made a change in my life. I just didn't turn over a new leaf. I just didn't accept some kind of a theory or concept. He made a change in my life. So now I know that I am walking in truth. Amen. Praise God. Are you happy to be here?
Amen.
Amen. I know a lot of you are tired. I know a lot of you have worked hard. But it is good that we can gather together with the saints. We need that, church. And I'll not try to hold you long. The Lord has laid a scripture on my heart in Philippians chapter 4. If you'll take your Bibles and you'll stand this evening. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I want to share from the Word of the Lord a little bit. Do you desire your prayers tonight? And just want God to encourage us. I want His Word to just to come alive to us tonight. Amen. And it's powerful, church. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me read that again for us. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Would you read that with me again. Would all of us read that? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say amen to God's words. You may be seated. We had a few months ago, or a couple months ago, as time goes by, I don't remember exactly what it was, how long ago. But some of you was here, and you should remember, I stood right here in this pulpit on Sunday morning, and I declared to you that a storm is coming. That a storm is coming. I wasn't referring to Sandy or some natural disaster that was coming, but I was talking about a spiritual warfare. And I declared to you that a storm was coming. And I believe that storm is approaching. We're feeling the winds off of it. And I feel like that there is going to be a storm that's going to come, church, to this nation. It's going to affect all of us across this land as Christians. And we need to seek God and get a hold of God more than ever, church, in these last days, because a storm is coming. We need to really pay attention to what is happening around us with this election and a lot of things that's going on. I know that we were disappointed, or you should have been disappointed, and what happened and what took place. I agree with Brother Emery. It's not so much that this man has gone back into office, but to me, it's just amazing how people can be so deceived in these last days. Today, we're living in an hour that people are so gullible in this country. They will believe about anything but the truth. They believe about anything but the actual truth. They want to take the truth and throw it in the streets. They want to say it's of no good, and they will believe a lie. So I'm amazed at how this election, what it has proved to us in this country, it kind of shows that there is, according to the numbers of in the votes in the each side and the number voted for each side. To me, it just shows us that this country is heading to an hour that we have our hand stuck out, that we want to receive, that we want something free. And we want something that we didn't work for, that we did not earn. And it shows to us that this country is heading to a place that we are satisfied with a free ride. That we want something that we did not work for. Now I know there is times. There is times that men and women, they get in need. They just get in situations. Things happen in their lives. No doubt about that. Every one of us, I believe, has had somebody help us along the way. Financially, physically, whatever it may be, you've helped. I've been helped many a times, and I understand that there is times that we get in that situation. But to me, it should be in a time when you've done everything that you could do on your own. That you've worked and you've labored and you've tried as hard as you can and you've done everything you can, but you just come up short. And there's no reason why men can't help each other out. It should especially take place in the church. We should see the needs of each other and be willing to help each other in times of need when people are struggling, whatever it may be, spiritually or physically. We should be willing to help. I believe the storm's coming, church. We need to get a hold of God. We need to get a hold of God. I'm telling you, if we keep going down this path, I don't want to be a doom and gloom preacher tonight. I've come to encourage us. But we need to face the facts. We need to get our head out of the sand. We need to realize that what God has told us, that there is a storm that's coming, but He will take care of us. He will not leave us, church. He will not forsake us. And we can ride through this storm and we can make it, church, by the grace of God. But what happens was, I'm sure most of you on that night of our election or the next morning, a lot of you probably watched it or you woke up the next day disappointed. You was discouraged about the results. You was couldn't believe what had taken place, maybe, and you was disappointed. Maybe some of you, when you saw what happened, maybe fear gripped your hearts. Maybe fear gripped your heart. What are we going to do? What is going to happen to this country? How are we going to make it? What's going to take place? There's a lot of question marks put up now. We don't know exactly what will happen. We don't know exactly what will take place. It's very disturbing when I saw more states legalizing homosexual marriages. And that was very disturbing to me when we see that taking place. That is just another thing that's showing to us that the judgment of God will be upon this country if it don't turn around. When we start breaking God's laws and doing things that the Scripture talks about as an abomination to God.
Yes, sir.
It's not telling some lie, which is a sin, but these things are an abomination to God.
Yes.
And God will not overlook it, church. He can't overlook it. He just cannot do it. So we find a lot of problems come in and Satan just seems like he bombards our minds and brings down and struggles come and we wonder what's going to happen. Fear grips us and we don't know what's going to take place. But I have to go to the Scriptures tonight, and the Lord tells us that the passage we read in Philippians 4 and 7, He tells us that the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I have to stand on these promises. God spoke to my heart that Sunday morning and said, a storm is coming. I cannot deny that. But I can go to the Scriptures that God will keep us, church. He will keep our minds. The peace of God, which passes understanding, which passes common sense, common reason, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God that's going to help us make it, church. Colossians chapter 3. The brother read it earlier. But he tells us in Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. He tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called. Notice this. To which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Paul, when he wrote to the church of Philippi, and he told them there in the passage, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. Here he tells us, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We've got to have, church, if we are going to make it in these last days, we've got to have the peace of God. If you don't, you'll just go crazy. You will not be able to stand it. The powers of darkness will come against your mind so strong that you will not be able to tolerate it, church. If I can put it this way, it'll drive you to go insane. Amen? If you don't have the peace of God, you won't be able to ride through the storm. But He tells us here that we must have that peace of God. It must be in our hearts. Let the peace of God. And then He tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This word rule in Colossians that He uses here deals with a judge. Or as we have in our sports and baseball, we have umpires. In football, we have referees. In Olympics and different things, they have judges in different sports. And what they do is, that umpire, he's the one that tells them if it's a strike or it's a ball or if you're out or you're safe. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one that says, this is what it is. That judge in the Olympics, when they're running or whatever they may be doing, if that runner runs out of his lane, that judge will say, you're out. You disqualified yourself. Or when they shoot the gun off to start the race and someone jumps out too quick, that judge will stop the race and they'll have to start all over. He's the one that's calling the shots. So Paul here, when he uses this word, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Yeah.
Let it be a umpire. Let it be a judge in your life.
Yeah.
Call the shots.
Right.
Let it be a judge. determined. No, this is of the devil. It's not coming into my mind. It's not coming into my heart. You're going to have to be the judge. You're going to have to be the rev. You're going to have to be the umpire and say, no, this is not of God. I will not entertain it.
Amen.
Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When the devil comes and he tries to take that peace out of your hearts, you're going to have to be the judge. You're going to have to be the umpire. Say, no, you can't do it. No, you've crossed the line now. Or when the enemy tries to put something in your mind, it's not of God. You got to say, no, you're out. You can't do it. You crossed the line. You're out. The game's over for you. You're going to have to rule this in your life, church. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How do we do that, church? The Scripture gives us a lot of passages. And keep your Bibles. We're going to be turning to several places. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. How can we do that, church? How can we do that? He tells us in back in Philippians 4 and 7, when he says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts. Not a question mark there. Not a maybe. But he said, it shall keep your hearts. This word shall keep deals with a guard, with someone who is taking a guard, a night watchman, someone who is patrolling. He is taking guard. He is watching. And he tells us the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds. Or protect it. Just like a guard would do. When the enemy starts coming, and he starts bringing doubts and fear, that guard will stand up and say, no, you're not allowed here. The peace of God rules here. This is not a place for you to dwell. You are an enemy. You have to leave. And that guard will run them off. Will chase them out. They'll lock them up. Whatever. You do not belong here. And that's what you must do. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. It's going to keep you going on the right track. It's going to keep you going in the right direction. Your hearts. Deals with your thoughts and your mind, your thinking. I'm telling you, when the enemy comes in so strong, your thoughts start going in directions they shouldn't be going. Your minds. And you just can't function properly. Your mind goes wired because you are not guarded yourself. You're not let the peace of God guard your heart and your minds. The enemy will come in, church, and he'll destroy you. He'll destroy you. So we must, church, keep your hearts and your minds. And how do we do this? How do we have this peace of God's? Well, one thing, you're going to have to be in right standing with God. Amen? John chapter 15, verse 7. He tells us here, John, say John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Notice there. You just can't, this peace of God is not some kind of angel dust or some kind of imaginary thing. You've got to live right. You've got to walk right. He tells us here that if we abide in Him, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, you've got to live according to God's words. Amen? Well, you can't have this peace. You can't have this peace of God's. And that's the problem today. We get overwhelmed with situations and we look back and we want to cry out to God and we say we're ashamed to because we weren't living right. We weren't doing what we knew was right. We were slack in our prayer life. We were slack in our desires for God. And now the storm comes.
Preacher.
And you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn and you're overwhelmed by it because you did not abide in God.
Right.
And His Word did not abide in you.
Come on.
And it'll destroy you, church.
Yes, it will.
So to have the peace of God is literally having peace with God.
Come
Amen? When you was in sin, you were an enemy of God's. You did not have peace with God's. Amen. But when Jesus Christ came into your life and He delivered you and set you free, you became, as we've been talking about in our Sunday school class and different lessons, you became a part of the body of Christ. Amen. You became part of the church. Amen. You became His child. Amen. Your spirit was once dead, but now is alive.
Hallelujah.
And now you have peace with God. And now you can go in peace with God. Amen. So it comes through a life of living according to God's words. It comes through the Spirit. The Spirit gives us that peace, church. Again, it's not some kind of just magical formula that you can repeat. It's the Spirit of God gives it to us in Romans chapter 8. Notice there, in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He says, "Well, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." God has not given us a spirit that we should fear, church. This fear should not grip us. The storm's coming. He's warned us to prepare for it. But we do not need to let the fear grip us, church.
Amen.
He tells us there. He's not giving us the spirit of fear. Amen. And it was talked about on Sunday morning. That this here spirit, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but yet received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This peace of God comes through the Spirit. When fear starts gripping you, church, again, you got to guard your heart. You got to be that referee. You got to be that umpire. Say, no, fear is not of God. This is not the Spirit of God. It will not dwell in my heart. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear. But He tells us that we are His children. We are His children, and He is our Heavenly Father. Then we can cry out, Abba, Father, too. He cares about us, church. You can't let that doubt, that fear come in. You got to reject it and say, no, that spirit is not of God's. I'm your child, God. And you'll take care of me. You'll take care of me. Amen. Praise God. I believe these messages and tongues and different and the message and the Word of God is to help us, is to warn us. God, that's why God does that, because He cares for His children. He cares for His children. He's trying to prepare us. He's trying to let us know. Amen. That's where we talked about in Psalms 23, where it talks about His rod and His staff, how they comfort Him. And when I preached that, I remember I said, there's nothing pleasurable about getting a whooping. There's nothing pleasurable about it. But why does it bring comfort? Why does that staff bring comfort? Because that staff will keep us in times of danger. That shepherd, he would use that staff. If a lamb went over the cliff, he'd take that staff, that hook on, he'd pull it out. That's what our Heavenly Father does. He protects us. But that rod is for correction. Amen?
Right.
And it comforts us. And why? I've never given my child a whipping that I enjoyed it. If you're a parent and you enjoy it, you've got problems.
Right.
You've got problems. But you do because you love Him.
Right.
So it brings comfort to me when God corrects me and warns me. It's because He loves me. That's why it brings comfort. Amen?
Right.
Praise God. I got a lot of ground to cover. Amen? It comes through the Spirit. I hope you're still there. If you're not, go back to Romans chapter 8. Back in Romans chapter 8. Let me get over there again. Notice verse 28. Go down to verse 28. For us to keep that peace of God, you're going to have to be convinced, church, that God wants what is best for you. You're going to have to be convinced of that. If you have a little bit of doubt that God wants what's best for you, Satan will work your mind to death.
Come on, brother. That's right.
You've got to be convinced that God wants what's best for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen. God wants what's best for you. Verse 32. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall we He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now there is a qualification on those all things. God is only going to give you what is best for you.
There it is.
And if you're not convinced of that, you say, well, why am I going through this? Why does the storm have to come? Why do I have to face these things? I'm telling you, it is, as we talked about again in our Sunday school class, God takes these valleys, these situations, and He molds you and shapes you. He strengthens you. He makes you stronger in the Lord. And if you don't ever go through a valley, we're going to be spiritually spoiled brats.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So we've got to go through these things. We've got to take the correction. We've got to take the discipline. Sometimes it takes longer than us. Sometimes it takes these things for us to realize how weak we are and how much we need God. Amen? I think that's what this country is going to be seeing. Amen? That they don't think they know it all. And they don't have it all under control. Amen? Praise God. I told my, I believe it was my sons, I said, I believe it's just going to take, it took 4 years and it didn't convince people yet. It's going to take another 4 years of even worse for people to see how ignorant they are. Amen. If I can put it that way, I hope that don't offend you, but that's just my feelings on it. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Be convinced that God wants what is best for you.
Yeah.
We must, church. Go back with me to Philippians chapter 4. We must renounce all worry, fear, confusion, doubts. We must renounce all this, church, with prayer and supplication. When the enemy comes in, you've got to hit your knees. You've got to talk to God. He tells us there in 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When those fears and doubts start coming in, you've got to renounce it. You've got to get all of God. You've got to talk to the Lord. I'm telling you, the worse and the closer the storm gets, the more you're going to have to talk to God.
Yeah,
the more you're going to have to be on your face before God. Because you won't make it.
Yeah.
You've got to renounce all worry by prayer. You cannot call somebody up. You can and they talk you through it. You cannot have some magical formula. You cannot have all these things. It does not work. You've got to do it through prayer, church, and supplication. Getting hold of God. That's the only thing we can do, church. I find myself time after time that during work and things, I've got to talk to God.
Right.
I've got to stop. I've got to talk to the Lord. Don't know what to do. Don't know what direction to go. Sometimes I'm just overwhelmed. I've got to talk to God. Sometimes I can't leave the workplace. Sometimes I can't stop what I'm doing. I've just got to keep on going and talking to my Lord. But there's also those times that I say I cannot wait till I can get alone with my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And that I can find comfort. That I can find that strength. That I can just pour it all on my Father. and He'll help me. No, the problem don't go away right then. No, the problem doesn't just disappear. But I can find the strength to go another step. I can find the strength, as the sister says, to make it another day. I've made it another day. I'm going to rise up tomorrow. The problems will probably still be there. But my Heavenly Father is going to help me make it through another day. Amen?
Amen.
I have to renounce all fear and doubt with prayer and supplication. I've got to talk to my Father. Amen. I can't buy my way out of it. I can't purchase something. I can't buy happiness. I can't do it. I've got to get a hold and talk to my Father. I got to talk to Him, church. Renounce all worry by prayer. Sister, when fear comes, talk to your Father. Brothers, when you don't know what to do, and you say, well, what about if I lose my job? I don't have work or anything. Get a hold of God. Renounce all that with prayer and supplication. Then He tells us in verse 8, what we need to do, church, is when this fear comes in, this mind, I don't want to call it a muscle, I don't have the physician terms to tell you, but I'm telling you, you can train your mind. You can discipline your mind. When that doubt and that fear comes in, you've got to renounce it, you've got to talk to your Father, and you've got to think on good things. It's what He tells us in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm telling you, when you just come in and the enemy bombards you, you're going to talk to God and you're going to start thinking about the good things of God.
Amen.
It's what you got to do. You've got to train your mind. If you don't, your mind's going to start accusing. Your mind's going to start saying it's this fault or that we've done it this way or whatever. You've got to think on good things.
Yes,
train your mind to do that. You can do it. I'm telling you, whatever you fill that mind with, is and whatever you're putting into it, that's the most thing you're going to think about.
Right.
It's what you need to be filling it with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Think on those things. Start reading. Praise God. And you'll find you're going to make it.
Yes.
You're going to find you're going to make it. You need to start getting that Word of God in your hearts, church. In your hearts. Amen. Praise God. Think on those things. To keep the peace of God, also, you've got to use the weapons of spiritual warfare. And you're familiar with the passage, if you'll go over there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These weapons we use in this warfare, for the weapons of our warfare. You are in a warfare, church.
Right.
You may, you're going to have to face the facts on that. You are in a battle. And if you don't fight, you're going to die. You're going to be destroyed by the enemy. You are in a warfare every day till Jesus comes. You're going to be in a warfare. Satan does not sleep. He does not give up easily. Amen? You are in a warfare. But Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, we don't use carnal means in this warfare. The church today is using carnal means. They want the elegant pastor. Amen? Speaks elegant. Let me go that way. Amen? They don't want a man as a man of God and has the power of God in his life. They want somebody that can speak well. Amen? They want the singer who can sing it just perfectly. Amen. They want the orchestra who can play just perfect. Amen. Those are carnal weapons that the church is trying to use today. And it's not working. It's proof in the pudding. It's failing. It's not going to happen. For our weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God.
Right.
It's through God, through the Spirit of God, that these weapons are mighty.
Hallelujah.
It's not through any carnal means, amen?
Amen.
And what these weapons that are mighty through God do, they pull down the strongholds.
Amen.
Those fortresses, those things in your life, and we through the power of God, they pull them down.
Amen.
But the main thing I want to look at is verse 5. What these weapons do also is they casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and it brings it into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Hallelujah.
These weapons are of spiritual warfare, church. And they are going to cast down every imagination. Now, when we talk about a lot of times this imagination, a lot of times we want to talk and think about impure thoughts in the sense of, I'll just tell you, as in and pornography and things like that. We think that's what this is for. That's just what this passage is talking about. Yes, it will do that. It can do that. Casting down the imaginations. And anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Yes, he'll do that. Pornography is on the rise, church. Nakedness is everywhere.
Right.
It's there.
Yes.
You're going to have to guard yourself. You're going to protect yourself. I was listening to another pastor. I believe he's a local man. He's on the local radio station. Anyhow, but he comes on early in the morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning. But anyhow, he was given statistics. And this is just a side note. We always think about men being in bondage to pornography. But your women ain't left out. Pornography among women is on a high increase. Amen? So we got to, all of us, we got to protect this mind against the things that's going on. And everything that's around us. But he talks about casting down the imaginations. That can be doubt, church. Fear.
Yeah.
Things that come in. If Satan comes in and puts doubt in your mind, it's not of God. You need to cast that thought down.
Right.
Anger. Jealousy.
Come on, brother.
Things like that. So-and-so plays better than me. So-and-so does this better than me. And those things, you've got to cast those things down, church, because they're not of God's. Casting down the imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God's. These weapons we use, church, they're spiritually. And you're going to have to use them to keep the peace of God and to make it in these last days. How are you going to do that? How are you going to cast down the imaginations and everything that exalts itself above God's? First thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to know. You're going to have to know, church, that God knows every thought. Every thought, everything that you think, everything you wish would happen, God knows it.
Yes, He does. Amen.
Matthew chapter 12. We're familiar with the passage. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Jesus speaking here and says, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." If you're going to cast down, you're going to keep the peace of God, you're going to have to do it through a spiritual warfare. And you're going to have to realize that God will judge every idle word.
He will.
Idle words may not be things that you speak out loud, but that you speak in your minds that's contrary to the will of God. And He tells us that we will give an account for that, church. So if you're going to keep the peace of God, you're going to have to train this mind, and you're going to have to know that you're going to give an account for every thought and intent of the hearts.
Amen.
If you're going to keep your the peace of God through spiritual warfare, you're going to have to realize that your mind is a battlefield. Amen? It is one of the main battlefields in your body. Is your mind.
Yes.
It's where Satan works.
Right.
That's where he brings those thoughts.
Right.
That's where he brings those thinking in.
Yep.
And you have to cast them out.
Right.
You got to pull them down.
Yeah.
Through the spirits. You got to shove them out. You got to say, no, you're out like an umpire. You can't cross this line. You don't belong here. You're out of the race now. So you guys, the church, realize that your mind is a battlefield. That's why it's so important to protect it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
What are you putting in your mind?
Come on.
What are you putting in your mind? These eyes, these ears, they're windows, they're doors to the minds.
Right.
What are you putting in them?
Right.
What are you letting Satan come and put into your mind?
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Every thought, you got to stop it. You got to cut it off, church. You got to do something about it. Realize that the mind is a battlefield.
Right.
And that's where Satan works. It doesn't have to necessarily be physical problems.
Come on.
If he can get you thinking wrong, if Satan can get you to thinking wrong, he's got you. If he can start putting those thoughts in your mind, God doesn't care for you. The church don't care for you. The church don't love you no more. So-and-so looked at you funny.
Come on.
Amen?
That's it. Come on, brother. Go ahead.
You don't think those things happen?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all be a pastor.
Yeah.
You'll find they happen. Amen? You didn't shake my hands. You didn't look at me just right. Things like that. Praise God. Can I just be straight up with you? Sometimes it's time to grow up.
Right.
Time to grow up.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
The mind is a battlefield. Perfect place for Satan to work.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you won't make it. You won't make it.
Right.
Amen? So realize that. If you're going to keep the peace of God, it's very important. I mean, you need to protect that mind like they do with, what is it, Fort Knox with all the gold is? I mean, you can't get in there. Nobody can get in there, I don't think. And I mean, they got everything protecting it. You need to do your mind the same way.
All right.
Amen. Let me go on. Praise God. We still got a few minutes. You all right? Train your mind. I already mentioned this some, but you've got to train your mind, church. Colossians chapter 3. Again, it was read this evening. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You got to set your affections. It does not say here that God will set your affections. God will give you this desire. No, Paul says you've got to set your affection. You've got to do it. You've got to desire things that are above. Heavenly things, spiritual things. If you are so consumed with carnal things, you will not keep the peace of God. And the storm will overwhelm you. You've got to set your affection on things above, church. You will not make it if you do not. So this is part of training your mind. This is what you've got to do every day. I'm telling you. As soon as you get up in the morning, does Satan not attack your mind sometimes? Amen. And it seems like it's constant all day long. You've got to set your affections on things above.
Yes.
You've got to do that, church. You're not going to be able to pass. You won't make it through the storm. Set your affection on things above, he tells us. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Satan comes in with those things, train your mind. I'm going to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, you're going to help me today. You're going to help me one more day. You're going to see me through this valley. You're going to see me through this problem. You're going to make it. We're going to make it, God. You're going to help us make it. The answer's on the way. Lord, just help me to be patient till it gets there. Set your affections on things above.
Yes.
Amen? So we must do that. Train your mind. Be careful with what you see and what you hear, church. Amen? Because that's what you'll be thinking on all the time. If you just consume yourself with that, that's what your mind's going to be on. So train your mind, church, to think on those things that are good. Do not cast away, church, confidence in God. Do not cast it away. Satan will want to bring doubt. He wants to bring doubt. That's what he did with Peter when Peter got out of the boat and he started seeing the waves. He threw his confidence away in God. The waves was more bigger than him than he could think about in God. And he started to go down. So do not cast away your confidence in God, church. Hebrews, go with me. These are good verses. I'd like for you to look at them if you would. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Notice there. You've got to hold fast the confidence. At holding fast, it talks about, you know, take hold of eternal life. Hold fast on. Grab a hold of it. With all that you have, and don't let go. Don't let that confidence in God get away from you. I'm depending on God. Satan, you're not taking my confidence away. I'm His child. You're not going to bring that doubt. He loves me. He cares for me. Do not, just because the problem comes, your Heavenly Father has not left you. Amen? My children growing up, I mean, I've had some had broken bones and had this and these problems, sickness and stuff. I couldn't stop the problem. I could help them with the problem. Our Heavenly Father doesn't always stop the problem. But He helps me through it. He helps me through it. And I'm not going to give up on that confidence I have in Him. I'm not going to let Satan take it away from us, church. The storm is coming. But I'm confident that God will see me through. Amen? Do not give up, church. Go down to verse 12. In that same chapter. Take heed, brethren. Lest there be Take heed, brethren. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Notice there, again, don't let your confidence in God get away from you. He tells us, take heed. Look at it. Be aware. Watch. Be that guard. And He tells us, take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. If that doubt starts creeping in, you need to be watchful of it. You need to be aware of it. God, You haven't forsaken me. Yes, I'm in a struggle. Yes, I may have a problem. Yes, this country is heading in the wrong direction. But God, You put me here for this hour, and You're not going to forsake me, and I'm not going to let doubt come in. I'm going to take heed to it. I'm going to watch, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. Satan, You will not overwhelm me. Amen? If you do not get spiritually strong, the storm will overwhelm you. Amen? It will overwhelm you, church. You must stand strong, church. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. What stopped Christ from working? Unbelief. They doubted. God cannot work when there's unbelief. When you're down praying. Maybe Satan don't do this to you, but sometimes he tries to come in and just bring doubts. Why are you praying for them? It's not taking place. It's not happening. The unbelief wants to come in. I've got to guard against it. I got to watch, church. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Do not cast away your confidence in God. And above all, the last thing, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your care. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. That's our Father. He can take, you're not going to overwhelm Him. If every Christian across this world cast their cares upon Him, it's not going to rob God. It's not going to overwhelm God. God is not going to hit a panic button. He can handle it.
Amen.
Cast all your cares upon Him. For He careth for you. But for you to do that, you're going to have to back up to verse 6. You're going to have to humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. If you're full of pride, you're not going to cast your care upon Him. You think, I can make it. I can make it. That's where our country is. They think they can make it without Christ. And they're going to have a bad awakening. Amen? That's where the church is today. I'm talking about the church or organized religion in our country. They think they can make it without God. Actually, what do you mean without God? They're not preaching God's Word. They're not living according to God's words. They're not structuring the church according to God's words. They think they can make it with their own ways. That's pride. That's pride. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. That little child will go to his earthly father. He won't have no pride. He'll ask him.
Yes.
He'll ask him. If he's scared or he's frightened, or he don't know what to do, that child's going to run to that father. Because he's not full of pride. He's not trying to lean on his own arm. But he humbles himself. He's humble. He's like, I can't make it. I need my father. You're going to have to do that, church. If you're going to keep the peace of God, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. He cares for you. We say, I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I've got this problem. I've got whatever. He cares for you. He cares for you. Amen. Praise God. Take your hymnals this evening. Page 157. Little John, do you know that song? I don't know if we've ever sang it here. Page 157. Trust and obey. Sister Kay, can you play that for us? Any other musicians want to come?